Hello, and welcome to our series of podcasts for Equine Health Week 2026 in partnership with Argria. We, at this point in the week, we've already talked about some of the signs of health in your horse, but we all want to do our best to keep those horses safe and well. And if you're anything like me, you kind of wish maybe you could wrap them up in bubble wrap every now and again. But the odd minor bump or scrape is bound to happen at some point, despite all our best efforts. There are certainly some rather accident-prone horses out there. So in today's episode, we are going to talk about some of the basic first aid knowledge that, as horse owners and horse carers, we all should have in our arsenal. Joining me to discuss this is Sam Cutts, Equine Director at Hook Norton Veterinary Group in Banbury. She has been at the practice since 2012 and now specialises in stud and performance work, alongside being an FEI permitted treating vet and part of the vet team at Stratford and Warwick racecourses. Away from work, Sam has bred three generations of competition mares who, between them, have competed up to five-star eventing and into one dressage. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you very much for inviting me today.
It is lovely to have you here. So first off, let's actually talk about what is first aid and why is it important that as people owning and caring for horses, we have an understanding of it.
Essentially, it's what to do in the immediate time after something has gone wrong. So it might be to stop the problem getting worse, help the horse recover. You're trying to, or in the worst case, give it the best chance of staying alive. And in serious situations, you're just trying to keep the horse as best state as possible before the vet arrives, or for lesser conditions, owners can possibly manage them themselves.
So I guess there's an element of kind of triaging, essentially, what
Yes,
you're faced with.
absolutely.
And let's start talking about first aid kits, because this is something we should all have at the yard. But maybe some of us are a bit more guilty than others of not having one at all, or maybe not necessarily knowing what to put in one. So what should we have in our sort of standard equine first aid kit?
So from a vet point of view, the single most useful thing an owner can have is a thermometer. Because if they ring us out of hours, worried about their horse, and they're giving us some symptoms and trying to work out, do we need to come and see it? It very often temperature will make a big difference to that. And if they can't give us that information, then you're sort of trying to make decisions with your hands tied behind your back. So that's the first thing that I would put in there. I think every owner hopefully has got ways of managing a foot abscess, which obviously is a horse way that will make a horse significantly sore. But actually, if you're capable of putting on a poultice, so you've got your poultice dressing, your vet wrap, and probably some black tape to go on top of it, then you've covered that aspect. And then if you're looking at wounds themselves, you want to have ideally some sterile saline solution for flushing out a wound. A heavy scrub is to an extent useful as a chlorhexidine solution. But the main thing with that is if people ever use it, you just need enough in the water to colour it slightly. And there's a temptation to think, oh well, this is I'll give my horse a really good clean, I'll put some neat heavy scrub on. And heavy scrub's actually quite toxic to cells, particularly at that stronger concentration. So I'd almost put saline over and above heavy scrub. And then you want some sterile dressings. So if you've got a small nick and you just want to be able to cover it, stop dirt getting into it, so something sterile in the first place, which then some softer padded bandage or some Gamgee to go over the top, and then vet rat over the top of it. It's important if you are putting a bandage on, that there needs to be some padding under your vet wrap or your outer layer. And we do see situations where people have literally put a sterile dressing on and then vet wrap bandaged over the top, and then you can end up causing quite significant pressure issues. If you're going to be trying to clean wounds, then you want some latex on nitrile gloves, so not sterile gloves, but they're a lot better than using your dirty fingers in the wound. Or indeed, if you've got something that's infected, you don't particularly want that on your hands either. And then sort of scissors, tweezers, hoof pick, flashlight. Keep it all in a nice box, and preferably that's plastic, so it's going to keep it sort of relatively clean and dry inside, with a nice label on saying first aid kit. And then hopefully everybody knows where that first aid kit is stored. It's not much use having it if nobody knows where it is. And hopefully you'll look at it every so often and check that things like the saline solution are in date. and obviously want something that's been used and broached, even if there's still some solution within it 2 years later that isn't still sterile and should not be being used to flush out the horse's wound. Once it's been used, then you need another one from your vet.
Perfect. And I guess as well, if you know, if you've been listening to this and thought, oh my god, I haven't written this down quite fast enough, it's always worth speaking to your vet as well, and they will be able to advise you as well. And obviously you can buy the pre-packaged first aid kits as well.
Yeah, and most vet practices will do that, or other people. There are some good resources. I think the Blue Cross have got quite a good list of what should, if you go in a first aid kit as well. So there's plenty out there. But start with a thermometer. If I had one thing, that's what it would be.
And if it's a digital one, make sure you've got batteries for it as well.
Yes, I mean, you tend not to replace them. So it's just making sure you've used it every so often and it is still working.
Yeah, that's first-hand experience there. Went to use it one time, batteries were dead. Okay, so let's delve right into now some of the things that you might need to have a bit of knowledge about. And probably first on the list is wounds. You know, horses, as we've said at the top there, like to get into bumps and scrapes and nicks and things. And you talked about some of the things, obviously, that you'll have in your first aid kit. But then maybe we should talk about actually how to, if your horse comes in with a wound of some description, how to kind of triage it, know what to do next to it, because obviously some of that is going to depend on the type of wound it is and where it is on the horse.
So I will go into that. I think that before I would say the most useful thing is to have a good relationship with your vet, because actually we all have wonderful cameras in our pockets all day long, and as vets we're very happy if someone sends us a picture of a wound and says, what should I do with this, to offer some advice. So I will go through things, but also if you're friendly with your vet, then you've got that expert in your pocket too. So going from sort of least serious potentially to start with is your abrasions. So that's where you've sort of barely taken the hair off and top layer of skin. Can be quite a big area, but actually not generally very exciting. Then you can get sort of either complete lacerations where the horse has sort of caught itself on something sharp and given itself a jagged incision, or there can sometimes be one single point that's almost given it just a sharp, almost looks more like a sterile incision. Either which way, they're going to need surgical closure. It makes a difference more to us about how we do it than anything else. And the ones that look least serious but are almost certainly most serious are your puncture wounds, and particularly if they're anywhere near joints, because you've always got the risk that something has gone into a joint and will set up an infection there. And certainly a horse with a tiny wound over a joint that's very lame is pretty high on the risk of urgent emergencies for me to go and see. Or similarly, you can have a horse that has caught itself on a gate latch between its ribs, and you can have a relatively small puncture wound, but actually that can go into the thoracic cavity and set up very significant issues there. So puncture wounds are definitely high on my list, although your massive lacerations incisions look much more impressive. Obviously anything near the eye we're going to take very seriously as well. What we want to know as well is how old that wound is. Now, people tend to tell you it's how old from when they first saw it, but actually what we want to know is, when did you last see this horse when it definitely didn't have that wound, because that is potentially how old it is unless you literally saw it happen. We want to know if there's anything discharging from the wound, which can either be a symptom of infection, or you can, if it's near a joint, then sort of straw yellow fluid dripping from a wound near a joint jumps it up the list of things that need seeing pronto as well.
Okay, so your horse has come in from the field. He's got, you know, if you've got one of these sort of quite serious, as you say, puncture wounds or a big laceration or something like that, what you should be doing is phoning the vet. But if you've got a sort of a minor wound, I say one of these abrasions or something like this, what should you then be doing in terms of cleaning it or generally taking care of it?
So for a minor wound, hose pipe is brilliant, because actually people say, well, surely the hose pipe water isn't sterile, but generally if your horse is coming from the field, there is sterility is gone anyway, and actually you've got a little bit of pressure just to try and clean everything out. So that would be my preference. Or if you've got you haven't got a hose pipe, or you've got your saline solution, then obviously that is a lovely sterile solution for cleaning it. And once you've got the wound significantly clean, then what you can use, people have had a temptation in the past to use various wound powders and things like that. The only thing I would suggest somebody put in a particular wound of sort of unknown depth would be an intracyte gel or something like that, which is just a wound hydrogel. And actually, I should have put that in my first aid kit in the beginning, and I forgot that. Or when wounds are healing, then a Manuka honey type product is appropriate topically. But again, photos, talk to your vet, because actually they can just give you a bit of advice as to what would be the most appropriate thing in that situation. And I think the one thing we haven't talked about, we should do, are wounds that are over an artery, or where an artery has been severed, so you've got large amounts of blood pumping, and obviously you are going to be calling your vet, but you also want to try and reduce blood loss before that. And that is just about getting whatever you can and wrapping a tight bandage around it. And then if the blood seeps through that, then you don't take what you've put off, you put another layer over the top, and so on and so forth, just to try and get a little bit of pressure, because even if it doesn't stop the bleeding, it will reduce it. And obviously you just need to let your vet know that they need to get there as soon as possible, just to provide a little bit of comfort to owners. And we tend to sort of see problems with horses when they get to about their second water bucket worth of blood loss, so they can afford to lose quite a lot, and obviously a little goes a long way, and so it can look dramatic with the horses. But still, if you're beginning to debate whether that's one or two buckets, the vet needs to be there soon.
Yes, straight on the phone. The other thing maybe we have to consider with wounds, and again going from personal experience here, is the fact that just what you're seeing on the surface, this I guess kind of links to what we've said with the puncture wounds, but what you see on the surface isn't necessarily the full extent of the damage, because that can sort of extend internally in the horse. I'm not explaining this very well, but...
No, so what can quite often happen, particularly if a horse has injured itself in motion, or when it's been trying to jump a fence, so the skin was pulled over a different area when it cut, and then it's standing still, so you end up with just being able to see the hole through the skin, and you can't see the massive hole through the muscle from when the horse had its leg flexed when it was cut in the first place. So you're absolutely right that there are all sorts of situations like that where what's underneath can be a lot worse than what you can see.
Yes, no, I just have a memory of the vet getting the wire and putting it in the leg, and it just kept going.
Yeah, for sure.
From what looked like a very insignificant wound to, it turned out it was about 3-4 inches continuing up the leg. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. As you say, I think, next point, I guess, is what point should you maybe be considering calling your vet if you're... I guess some of us, if you have no idea what you're doing at all, that point might come a little bit sooner. But there is going to be a very definite point where you need to be getting on the phone. You're not necessarily got the buckets and buckets of blood that we talked about, but there is going to be a point where the best thing for that horse is to be seen by a professional, no matter what we are able to do at home.
Yeah, so it's sort of, regardless of how experienced you are, the ones with unstoppable bleeding involving an eye, or... A fairly deep wound over a joint, around a joint, and those are the ones that are going to be, they need seeing. And even if you ring us to discuss, we're likely to say we physically need to see that, because the potential consequences of things going wrong, if it's not seen down the line, you've got a narrow time window to sort them out. Those are the ones that fall into that category.
Absolutely. And I guess there's also an element here of the aftercare point, because whether you've dressed this wound or cleaned this wound yourself, or whether the vet's done it, there is going to be an element of aftercare to it. And there are going to be signs, I guess, where maybe that healing has been compromised, or something's gone a bit wrong. Maybe the wound wasn't quite as clean as we thought it was, and it's got infected down the line. What are some of the signs that we should be looking for that some, again, possibly veterinary aftercare is going to be needed, or that wound might need another clean or whatever?
Or the horse might need to course antibiotics or something like that.
Yeah.
And what you're looking for down the line are heat, swelling, pain on palpation, if you're touching around the wound, because actually, okay, yes, when it first happens there'll be discomfort over the wound itself, but generally around the edges not very much. And certainly if they start to become sore, then that's a real sign, discharge from the wound, and whether that's sort of thick yellow pus or thin yellow straw-like fluid, and lameness with the horse. And particularly if they were relatively sound when it first happened and they're getting worse. Generally, getting worse is not a good thing. And a real red flag for me is a wound near a joint that the horse was initially sound on. So the owner thinks, oh, brilliant, okay, it's near the joint, but it's sound, so it's fine. And that then goes lame. And there's a little bit of misconception. The reason that horses go lame with a joint infection isn't so much the infection itself, but it's the buildup of pressure within the joint. Now, if it's quite a reasonable wound or hole where the joint fluid is all leaking out of the joint, or it looks like there's just some discharge, then actually the horse can be sound initially. Then as the healing happens and it starts to seal over, then that horse goes lame. And that really is a problem, because you've often, that's several days down the line, and you've lost your magic window for having a joint flush and a really good outcome. And that sort of goes back to why when there's a wound near a joint, we do want to see it to make sure we can give that horse the very best chance.
And one sort of last question, slightly left field possibly on this one. In terms of looking after wounds, should the wound be kept moist or be allowed to kind of dry, I guess, in the air? And I guess this partly comes down to the different products versus like powder versus a gel.
And it also depends on how significant the wound is. And I mean, people are desperate to put something on the wound, and often a sterile dressing is the best thing. A lot of the time, you don't need any topical products. So cells are healthy when they remain essentially moist, and when an area is allowed to dry out, then the superficial cells will start to die off. So generally, initially, we will bandage and keep things in that sort of slightly moister environment. Then as healing is progressing on, then look at taking the dressing off and allowing things to dry out. Now, for a more minor injury, we'll progress much more quickly to allowing fresh air. And then a more significant one is likely to be bandaged for quite some time.
Okay, so I think we've covered wounds quite comprehensively there. In terms of kind of some of the other lumps and bumps and things that your horse might come in with from the field, if he's come in with, I'd say, a bit of a lump on him or some lumps on his skin, something like that, what should we be doing with those? Is that something where we should call the vet?
So it very much depends partly how distressed your horse is by it. If it's got a couple of lumps on it, on its skin, but actually couldn't care less, then probably stripping off the rugs, potentially just giving it a cold water bath, just to try and calm everything down. Sometimes a little bit of Buke can help, but often you can manage that yourself without needing to call the vet, particularly assuming that you haven't got swellings around the muzzle, the throat, that's or eyes, that side of things. But if you bring your horse in and it's covered in lumps and bumps and it's absolutely going mad trying to chew at itself, or it's struggling to walk in a straight line, if you've ever seen a horse that's fallen in a patch of nettles, they look like they've drunk about three bottles of whiskey, because it has a really dramatic effect on those. So, and those horses will absolutely benefit from some steroids. And then a lot of skin conditions can actually be settled down quite well with some fresh air and sunshine. So I think there's a lot of scope for owners to manage things themselves, but equally well, we're always here to discuss and offer advice.
Yeah, that is kind of, I think that is probably our takeaway message from today, is have your vet in your pocket, ready there to help and answer any questions you might have. Are there any other areas of sort of basic first aid that owners should know about, should have some knowledge on?
I think it's that don't give eyes 3 days to see if they get better. They absolutely justify a phone call to have a conversation about in the first place. Foot abscesses, every owner should know how to poultice. If you don't know how to put a poultice on, there are lots of videos online to show you how to do so. I mean, if you've got nail pillars and you can take a shoe off yourself to be able to then put the poultice on, so much the better. But at the very least, be able to poultice. Also, there's a temptation to use boiling water and then to put it on boiling hot onto the horse's foot. The frog is pretty sensitive, the heels are sensitive, so you do want it to be comfortable to touch yourself before you strap it onto your horse's foot. Bite stings, swellings, generally if the horse isn't stressed by them, I may not be too worried, but if they're around the face or throat, and particularly if the swelling is increasing, then that's something that may well want seeing. I think every owner should know the normal heart rate, respiratory rate, temperature for their horse. It's not ideal if the first time you do it is when you think there's something wrong with your horse. I'm not saying that everybody needs to do it every day, but if you had did it a couple of times, then that's quite helpful. And obviously anybody that's travelling their horse to compete in FEI competitions will be needing to do that on a regular basis to be able to enter stables. I think choke is something else that people ring in a panic. If you've ever seen a horse that's choking, so it's where some food that they're eating has become lodged in their esophagus. Now sometimes that's a piece of carrot, or it might be unsoaked sugar beet. They would be your sort of classic ones. And the horse will produce huge amounts of saliva to try and clear that, and it's coming down their nose, and they're making horrible noises, sort of coughing. And I think because it's termed choke, there's a suspicion from owners that it's in their airway, which obviously would be a life-threatening emergency. Now, most chokes will actually clear themselves if given 20 to 30 minutes. So if you've got a horse that's choking, I would take away any form of food that's available to them, because sometimes horses will feel that in their throat and choke and panic for 5 minutes and then think it's cleared, start trying to eat some more, and then they have another episode of choke, but now you've added twice the amount of food material to that obstruction to get past. So I would give them enough time for it to clear, and then if I'm wondering whether it's cleared, I would just give the horse a very small amount of soaked nuts or something like that from my hand, and watch that horse eat it, watch for the swallow travelling down their throat, and then I know that it's cleared, or if it sets off the choke symptoms again and you've already given it the 20 to 30 minutes, then that's when I would be calling the vet to say, actually, this isn't clearing for itself. Can you come and clear it? Because generally, people will sometimes ring up very distressed and want us to come straight away, which I can completely understand. If you've never seen choke before, it is quite upsetting. But it's quite common that you arrive just as the horse has cleared it, and you can check it over and make everybody feel better and go away. But owners can potentially save themselves a bit of money if they're happy just to wait that little bit.
Great, thank you. And yeah, I think as you say, choke is a horrible one, but not one we need to be immediately concerned with. Are there any areas though where we should have an immediate concern? If your horse has come in from the field or you turn up in the morning and he's in his stable and he's displaying a certain set of symptoms, what are the ones where we should immediately be getting on that phone to the vet?
So, I mean, I think the thing that makes us jump out and get in the car faster than anything else, pretty much a difficulty falling, which obviously only applies to a subset of people. But if your mare started active labour and the foal hasn't appeared in 20 minutes, then or you've got any suspicion that the wrong bit's coming, then that's a I need somebody now. Profuse bleeding, particularly arterial bleeding, that you can't stop, then that's your kind of other, let's just jump in the car pronto. And then horses who are trapped in a situation, gone through a lorry floor, trapped in some fencing, things like that. Those are the things that you think actually minutes will make a difference to. Then moving on to severe colic symptoms, particularly if you come in the morning and find your horse covered in abrasions around its head, and it's obviously been thrashing around in the stable overnight, then you don't know how long that horse has been colic in the first place. So that's one that, again, we're going to want to come and see straight away. Similarly, but you might have a horse that you come in the morning and it's just a little bit quiet, and it isn't so keen on its breakfast, or it hasn't got quite so many droppings overnight. Now, those sorts of horses, they may well end up needing to be seen, and a lot of people would rather that we came straight away and got on top of things quickly. But equally well, we can sometimes have a discussion with owners as to what they might be able to try for an hour or two to see if they can improve things, and then if it still hasn't, to be able to come out and see them. But we're always very happy to talk to people and help them to help themselves. If you pick up, I think the message from Daisy, if you pick up the phone to the vet, that doesn't mean they're going to come out and you're going to have a bill. We just want the best for the horse, and often and we're busy people, we don't want to come and see horses that don't need seeing either, so we're very happy to help you help your horse yourself. And then obviously, like we talked about, you know, wounds near joints, wounds that need stitching or stapling, and then concerns around eyes would be the sort of main things that we say yes, we really do need to see that. And also a horse that's acutely very severely lame, and unless you're absolutely sure it's a foot abscess, then that would be something that wants to look at.
Thanks very much, Sam. I know we will be discussing colic later in this week in a lot of detail. So that is one to tune into. If people listening had to take away one key message from what we've discussed today, what do you want it to be?
Can I have two?
You can have two. I'll be generous.
But one is buy a thermometer, and the other is, if you're not sure, speak to your vet. We're nice people. We're here to help. It doesn't mean there's going to be a bill associated.
Very good. Short, succinct. Love it. Very on point. And last of all, if people want to find out a bit more about what we've discussed today, maybe learn some of the skills we've talked about, what would be your advice for them?
And so often vets run first aid evenings, client evenings to come to. If you've got a specific question, obviously you can ask the vet. A lot of practices also sell their own first aid kits. The Blue Cross have quite a good summary on their website of for what to put in a first aid kit and sort of things to worry about. So I think those are sort of obvious things to go to in the first instance. It's always, you know, Dr. Google can be a blessing and a curse at times. I suppose the question, if it's worrying you enough to ask the question on a Facebook forum, then why not ask it to a professional?
I think that's a very important point. At the end of the day, you guys as vets have spent many, 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 many years of your life seeing a whole wide range of horses who've done weird and wacky things to themselves. So
you're right, and that's the problem, is that people who reply very often reply from their experience of their one horse that did that, rather than a broader range. And there really is some pretty terrifying bad advice that gets given, we can do better by horses.
Absolutely. And that is, at the end of the day, what we all want is the absolute best for the horses in our care. So yeah, if in doubt, pick up the phone. There's our takeaway message for today. Thank you very much, Sam, for coming on today and sharing all of your wisdom. Hopefully it's been at least a little bit enjoyable for you.
No, thank you very much for inviting me, and I think it's a brilliant idea. Good luck with the rest of the podcasts.
Thank you very much. And if you want to find out more about some of the things we've talked about, so we obviously temperature being a key one, you can check back to the resources we shared yesterday where we talked about signs of health for your horse. There's lots of great resources there about how to do things like take your horse's temperature. And you can also follow along for the rest of the week. We've got some great topics coming up, all really important topics to discuss when it comes to keeping our horses happy and healthy. So we hope you will join us soon. You can find any of the podcast episodes happening this week wherever it is that you found this one. You can also check back in our back catalogue for some of the stuff we put out for previous Equine Health Week campaigns. We've also recently shared some information on worming and parasite testing. That was back in January for our worming week. And there's lots of other topics on there as well. So do check them out. We hope you will join us again soon. And thank you very much for listening.